Wait. Good morning. This morning I want to talk about the Word of God and whether it is letter to us or spirit, or maybe a combination of both. But I think in our journey as Christians, we're going to find our minds are pulled one way or another. Either we're pulled religiously to see this Bible as a letter, rules, regulations that need to be followed, or we're pulled by the Holy Spirit, where they see this same Bible to be a revelation of the Father, His heart, His mind, the Son, and a book that imparts life to us. And I think it's very, very important that we are aware of what's affecting our minds, which way we're being pulled. You know, I have never been bothered by people that argue about the Bible, saying, okay, well, how is it divinely inspired, all these books, how did it come into being? You know that your Bible that you have didn't drop out of heaven in like the 3rd century and all of a sudden they had the full Bible. You know, it's over a process of time. Of course, the writings, the Old Testament, and in the New Testament times, the early church, the words that we are reading now from like Paul, Peter, were being written, and much of what was written, even the Gospels, was after many had passed away in the early church. So around the 3rd century, we have the Council of, was it Nicene? And we have people, men, meeting together and deciding which epistles, which books would be put together in the Bible, which wouldn't. I've always wondered if there's a book of John out there somewhere, or something. John's probably one of my favorite books, if you want to pick a favorite. We're not supposed to do that, but let's compare John to, let's say, Leviticus. Which one would you rather be reading, you know? But is there another book out there just like it? Because, you know, men decided, they and their politics were involved. And in fact, books that were rejected, people that followed those books after this time of council, were considered heretics, and some were even, I heard, were put to death. Yeah, I just got, you got that Christian love, you know. It never ceases to amaze me how the gospel, the heart of the gospel, is God's love, and how we can get so stubborn and stuck in our thinking that we would actually go contrary to that, actually kill people in the name of religion. It's just mind-boggling. But anyway, people can argue and say, well, how were those books put together? They didn't just drop out of heaven. All I know is that God inspired the process. He gave us all we need in this Bible for this earthly journey to know Him. And if people want to say, well, there's another book out there that should have been included and one that should have been taken out, I don't care what people say about that. It's not the letter of the Word that I'm following. I want to know the spirit of the Word. Amen. And if you want to be honest about it, people can say there's inconsistencies, some contradictions in the Word. You can find them. Again, it's not the letter of the Word that I'm following. People wrote this down, inspired by the Spirit of God. God communicated perfectly His heart and intent through these scriptures we have. What about verses that women should not speak in church? A woman's head should be covered. And I know that there's teaching on what that really means. And again, Paul was writing to churches with specific needs at the time. These were letters being written. I look at that again and I go, you know, people will stumble over that. There's neither male nor female in the spirit. I know the reality is it doesn't matter if you're male or female. It's God's Spirit that counts. That situation where He said women shouldn't speak in church, I don't stumble over that. But you see, if we're bound by the letter of the Word, and the Word of God to us is rules and regulations, then we're either going to stumble over that or try to block it out or become very defensive, always trying to defend our doctrine. That's not the way of His Spirit. The way of His Spirit is to find the impartation of His life through this Word. And it's such a blessing that to see that even from the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, God was always revealing His heart. Here's Psalm 103, just one verse I want to share with you here. Not just one this morning, but for right now. The Lord, Psalm 103, Lord, who is merciful and gracious, not dealing with us according to our sins. That's a psalm written long before Jesus came on the scene. There was still an awareness. God was breaking through to different hearts of what his nature was really like. He did not want to relate to us through our sins. That was the law. Everything was leading to a Savior where Jesus would take our sins on himself and God could relate to us through his love. We could be reconciled to the Father. Adam and Eve, of course, had a choice in the garden, and they chose knowledge over relationship, didn't they? Tree of knowledge. And that's that path where the Word of God becomes letter. It's a book of knowledge for us, but not a book of life. And now, unlike Adam and Eve's first choice, when we come to Jesus and really come to the Lord, we're choosing relationship over rules and regulations. And with rules and regulations, we can get an upgraded version of humanity. Or if we get the spirit of the word, Christ is formed in us. John chapter 1, verse 14 says the word became flesh. God never intended his word to be contained in a book put on a shelf. And you know you're bound by the letter of the word when you feel the guilt of, I should just, you know, I got to keep reading the Bible over and over again. I read the word from my youth on up and to now because I enjoy it. I love it. But when you feel that condemning voice of, you know, you've got to do more, you've got to read more, is that the Holy Spirit prompting your heart for passion for the word? Or is that the death that's coming through the letter? Again, that self-condemnation does not come from the Spirit of God. The Word became flesh. God's intent, if the Word is life, is it becomes living in our flesh, just like it became living through Jesus. And that's where the glory of God is seen. Read John chapter 1. What's his glory all about? It's his Word being manifest through humanity, through human vessels. John 6:63, I'm reading from a different version here. The Spirit can make life. Sheer willpower doesn't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word. And so it is like making some of you resistant, refusing to have any part of it. And so it is life. Every word that I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and it is life. But that is causing some of you to resist me and not want any part of me. Do you remember when Jesus said this? When he had the thousands following him, and he spoke words that you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and of course the multitudes left him. That's when he spoke these words. But he's revealing what the Word of God is to be. The Bible is not simply a book of knowledge. The more you know, the more spiritual you are. Sometimes the more you know, the less spiritual you are because you become hardened like a Pharisee, where you're not open to be taught by the Holy Spirit, but you're held up by that false sense of human pride of how much you know. People can be so religious with this Word and not realize how hardened their hearts can be. How veiled their minds can be from the truth. The only way the Bible is life is if the Holy Spirit is the one opening it up to us by revelation. It's the Spirit that gives life. And Jesus was talking about those that were resistant to that. Of course, the multitudes that left him. Why? They were offended by him. Our human thinking will be offended by God's ways and spirit. It's not whether that's going to happen, it's what we do about it. If the word is a letter to us, when God offends us, we depart from his presence and we cling to our doctrines. We cling to our rigid way of thinking. But if we let the word of God, the spirit and life, offend our natural way of thinking, it brings us into life. What comes down, those false walls of human pride? When God offends your mind, what is really happening? He's just, basically, he's just taking the pride that you have, that human pride that needs to come down anyway, and just shattering it. And so we can say, Father, yes, you can remove my pride, or Father, no, you're not going to touch my pride. And we're making a choice of whether we're choosing life or death. Death meaning we have a religion with no relationship with the Lord. Life meaning that we have that living relationship with the Lord. Peter said, Jesus looked at him and said, are you going to leave me also? His response was, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, if we're on this journey of the Holy Spirit, the beautiful thing about it is our minds may not be any more enlightened than anyone else. We get confused and wonder why God does things the way he does them, or why this did happen, why didn't this happen? But there's a humility that says, where am I going to go? I don't know why this is happening, but where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. When we're being led by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is leading us into the ways of life. That's where we really come to know the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't think someone that follows the letter really knows what it means to be led by the Spirit. You can't be under the law and led by the Spirit at the same time. They're two different states. If we're under law, we're not being led anywhere. We're stuck. We're not growing. If we're in grace and we're following those words of Spirit and life, we're constantly growing in our awareness, in our relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is speaking to them. He says, verse 3, talking about there being manifested, you are a letter of Christ. Now, we're talking about the Word being Spirit now. When the Word is Spirit, our humanity is not just something where we have this Word lodged in our head, and when people come up, we just spit out all these scriptures, and we try to manipulate their mind and talk them into some religion. When the Word is Spirit, we are living epistles. We don't have to try to talk anyone into anything. Light is emanating through us, witnessing of the power of God. You may be manifested as a letter of Christ, and it says, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone. What was on tablets of stone? This is 2 Corinthians 3:3. Ten Commandments, rules, regulations. This is not what God is writing in our heart. Being a living epistle does not mean that you're telling people, this is how you've got to live, this is what you've got to do. And that's what religion does. Join our church. It's all about the love of God. And here's our special agenda that you also have to follow. There's no ands when it comes to the Word of God being Spirit. It's all about Christ, period. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. When we're dealing with the Word being Spirit, our heart is being affected and activated spiritually. We're not hidden from Him anymore. Down in verse 5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. I'm reading scripture here. I'm not making this up. This Bible can kill if the Spirit of God is not involved with it. Now, what does it mean to kill? It can deaden a person's thinking. It can deaden their heart, hardened minds, a heart that's not open to God. Or this Spirit, or this Word can impart the very spirit and nature of our Heavenly Father to us. He talks about adequacy as from God. When we're really dealing with the Word being Spirit, we're not operating on self-will or self-confidence. There's a total dependence on the Lord. And we realize if the word is spirit to us, you realize you're not in control. And you say, my adequacy is from God. That's the only way this is working. Down in verse 11, talking about the old covenant, how it faded away, how it had glory to it. Isn't that amazing? The law had glory to it. How much more which remains is in glory? If the letter had glory to it, how much more is the word being spirit? I mean, you talk, that's the very glory of God. That glory will never fade away. It's going to grow. Where is it going to grow? In his people, throughout all creation. And we go down to verse 14. He talks about their minds were hardened. For until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it's removed in Christ. When the word is letter, the human mind is hardened, not open to God. Now, what is this veil it's talking about? In other words, they were reading the scriptures, but there was a veil where they couldn't see what God was speaking. You remember Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for you think you find life in them. But these scriptures that you're reading testify of me, and you want nothing to do with me. Why? There was a veil. They couldn't hear God through the word. The veil doesn't block doctrine. The veil blocks the Holy Spirit bringing revelation. Very simply, verse 14, the veil is removed in Christ. And it says, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Couldn't be any more simple, could it? How do we have this veil taken away from our thinking where we can really receive words of spirit and life and be changed by them? It's just that constant turning of our heart to the Lord. Like Paul talked about in Corinthians, the same 2 Corinthians, don't let your minds be led astray from the simplicity of your devotion to Christ. It always comes back to that. How can I be open, Lord? How do I know if I'm open to your presence? Well, where are you turning? If our heart is always in that type of, call it a mode of repentance, turning to the Lord, turning to Jesus, that humility before him, the veil is taken away. There, no veil can exist in an atmosphere of true humility. No mind can stay hardened if the heart is humble. Verse 17 and 18, I might as well finish the chapter. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face. What is the true gospel? It's a transparent gospel, isn't it? And when we receive the transparent gospel, the gospel of transparency, the gospel where nothing is hidden. Revelation chapter 22, that river coming out of the throne, clear as crystal. That's the word of God. Amen. Living water, clear. When we receive the gospel that is transparent, we become transparent. That's when we're living epistles. With unveiled face, it means we're open. No walls. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into that same image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen. Okay, one last thing here in Hebrews chapter 4. You're very familiar with this. I don't think you even need to turn there. But I'm going to turn there to make sure I don't quote it wrong. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living, active. The Word of God is living. Again, words of spirit and life. Dividing and able to judge the thoughts, intents of the heart. The transparent gospel, what is it? The word of God is just that clear water that when we receive it, it goes right down to the very motivations of our heart. The letter of the word will never take you to your heart. It will show you your behavior, right and wrong,
But the spirit of the word goes to what motivates us and changes those motivations where we can be Christ-like. Verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is following the verse about the word. This is not talking about the Bible as letter, but when the word is spirit and life, nothing is hidden from God. We're an open book. Everything is laid open and bare before him. Maybe that's why some people would rather this be a letter. Because if this word is just letter to me, I can hide behind it. I can hide behind a religious spirit and not let anybody see what's really going on inside. I don't change. But that's all religion is, isn't it? We all wear masks. It's a game of pretending. It's all about images, idols. But a spiritual walk is about being laid open and bare before him. Why? So that his nature can just spring forth from us.
There's a song. This is one part of a verse. It says, ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. The word of God, as it's living in spirit, provides a crack in everything. We don't like that necessarily. We want everything to be patched up. No, let the Holy Spirit crack open what needs to be cracked open. Why? That's how the light gets in. Amen. Let's stand.